First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, May 15th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I hate my own sweet tooth. It's not a good sweet tooth. We got to get our some protein in here. Don't tell Dread, because he loves that pasta.
I hear you. Our guests today are John Richards from England Way near London. Welcome.
Hello.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you think you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, getting close to 1,100. We'll tell you more about that group after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Today's topic is, why don't they put God on the ballot? And before we get into that, I just want to say, hey, listen, I feel like I'm a little bit slower today than I normally am. I'm going to coin a new phrase. I feel like I'm in a carb coma because I hit my weight loss goal last week or this weekend. And the first thing I did was go out to the grocery store and got a bunch of stuff that I wish I always was able to eat. Just like I had some small ice cream mochi balls. I had cake. I bought two individual slices of cake without like going crazy on the whole thing. And I got these like muffins that had this crazy, stupid icing on the top. And now my head's just like, too many carbohydrates in my system. I'm not enjoying it at all. And I never want to touch that stuff again. It was just like when a dad gives you a full box of cigarettes to go through. You're just like, Dad, don't make me do that ever again.
Yeah. Or makes you drink a whole beer when you're 10. And you say, what does it taste like, Dad? And he says, here, drink the.
Tastes terrible. Yeah, so yeah, awful. That's where I'm at right now. That's how I'm holding up right now. John Richards, how are you holding up right now?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm just pleased to wake up every morning at my age, you know. So I relate to what you just said, Ty, because I think, and this is just my humble opinion, that we might go through a change in our life of preferring from sweet to savory.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that when I was young, I enjoyed many more sweet things than I do now.
And right.
Like you, I think if I have cake and icing and stuff, it's not to my taste. I don't want that stuff anymore, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So, John, you're a biologist. You may appreciate this. I believe, this is my impression, I've heard this theory bounced around a bit, but in nature, sweet things aren't poisonous. And so we have like this evolutionary bias towards things that are sweet, because in nature, anything that's naturally sweet isn't poisonous. So like if you're doing like herbs, if you're out in the wild and you're picking stuff, the one of the best tests to make sure if this food is good to eat and is beneficial to you is whether or not it's sweet or not. If it's bitter, it might actually be bad for you to eat. Or if it's spicy, it might be the plant saying, don't eat that. And so we have this trigger or wiring in our brain to love sweet things and get that endorphin rush from sweet things. Larry, what do you think?
Yeah, true. I've got a random bit of advice I like to throw out every once in a while when we're talking about sweets. First of all, if you drink cold liquid and you get a pain in your tooth, you just have sensitivity to cold. No big deal. If you're eating sweets and you have pain in your tooth, you have decay. You need to get yourself to a dentist. But do not let him pull that tooth. Well, get a root canal if you need to, because if you let them pull the tooth, it doesn't exercise the bone anymore and you lose bone mass. End of rant.
Okay. So yeah, John, as a biologist, what do you think about that theory?
Picking up on what you said, first of all, about us evolving to like sweet things because they are calorie rich. Yeah, there's a lot of makes a lot of sense to be adapted to grab your calories when you can, you know, and you
poisonous. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a world where you might not have any availability in the near future. Hmm. But nature's more clever than that, isn't it? Because sometimes the calories are wrapped around a nasty poisonous part of the fruit. There are some fruits where, and particularly fish, where parts of it are extremely edible and other parts of it are extremely death causing.
Yeah. Talking about nature and what attracts you, can, what's the evolutionary reason behind wanting to eat fermented fruit and getting drunk from it, like monkeys and other animals do?
Yeah, yeah.
They find fermented fruit on the ground, they eat it, and they get drunk.
Yeah, even mice and flies do
so
that.
So I don't know if it's evolutionary, but I do think we have a natural aversion to boredom. I think boredom is like one of the most major extreme emotions that most people don't want to have. Malaise, you know, like this pauldron, if you will. And so
that's
when you're
interesting.
Drinking,
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
You're like, hey, this is at least interesting. It's better than being a monkey on a branch for the next 24 hours.
A bored monkey on a branch.
Hey, check out Steven the monkey down there. I'm going to do what he's doing.
Well, what about if it was an unexpected side effect? I mean, what about if early man or even earlier animals were looking for fruit and they found some fruit, not realizing that it was past its best, and ate it anyway?
Yeah.
And then discovered subsequently that it has
that they can
effect.
Make really good jazz music, right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It just gets rid of boredom. Guys, I have a weird thought experiment I'd like to throw out to everybody, which is the real topic of the show for today, which is why not put God on the ballot? And why am I bringing this up is because we have voting season coming up pretty soon in the U.S. I'm already seeing signs being posted everywhere on people's drives, on front of libraries, close to government buildings, you know, all the things you're legally not supposed to do, but they'll do it anyway. And so there's things for mayors, district courts, sheriffs, so many different things. And of course, presidents and the current primaries that are coming about as well. And so I went to the gym yesterday. And I was shocked to see some guy with like a T-shirt that was like two people who I never, ever want to see in office again, basically for the next upcoming election. In my head, it's just like, what in the world is going on? Is it already Christmas? Is it already September where I'm walking to the grocery stores and I'm seeing Christmas tree postings already up? Like, I still feel like we have about two more good years to go before we have to fall ourselves into the cycle. But still, that said. Why not? Here's an idea. Why not, instead of having all these multitude of different signs, you just have one sign posted and you have one name on the ballot if he's your guy? And when I say put God on the ballot and have the board be vote God. And here's why I'm for it as an atheist, because we'll come up with the concession of if God doesn't win, the next person does, guy or girl. But if everybody votes for God, that's the president, and that's the district attorney, or that's the mayor, that's the person. You can vote for him for every single position if you want to. I'm fully fine with that. But if that person or that guy doesn't win, the next person who got the next most votes goes through. And I find no problems with that theory whatsoever on three counts. And I guess we'll go over them today. One, I find that if you're a Christian and you vote for God, that's fantastic. But if you don't want to vote for God because you think he won't win, now that's interesting, because as a Christian, you have to believe that God's everywhere, can be anything. Why can't he created the rules of the universe? Why can't he win a simple election?
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? Why are you afraid of? The second one is, well, we can go into it. I'd love to hear everyone's feedback. What do you guys think about the idea so far? God showing up on a ballot. Would you have an issue with that? Larry, what's up? Oh, you're on mute, my friend.
Thank you. We have to determine which God we're voting for. I mean, when you just put the word G-O-D on the ballot.
G-O-D.
Yeah, but that means whoever reads the ballot interprets it as being their God.
That's exactly what God is, though. That's what it is. And in my head, it's like, let it happen. Let's just see what happens. Because as my dark theory in the back head, man, is like, that is one. Just a vote that is like, okay, thank you for your votes, putting it aside. All right, who really needs
to... But it's a blatant violation of church-state separation.
Yes,
I agree. True. I agree. Also, what is the alternative in reality? I'm just putting my devil's advocate hat on, is we still have that either way. Like, we still have pastors dictating groups of people who to vote for. We still have In God We Trust and our money. We still have presidents who invoke God at the end of their speeches, who start wars based on religious premises. Like, we have that here. We have, I mean, we just had a very conservative upswing on what should have been women's liberties get denied in this state based on conservative values that are held by religious points of view that aren't scientific. That aren't, like, secularly determined. And I feel like if that's the case, put God on the ballot and let's see what that God has to say about that, whatever it is. Put God on the ballot and let's, stop dancing around an issue and make it explicit. I find there would be far more value in just having it an actual person who either gets into office or doesn't get into office, rather than someone who never even was on a Democratic ballot and still yet has so much political swing and favor in our current system.
Yeah, well, it would be against your constitution, but I mean, that would be the first time that something would be done against your constitution. So why don't you do it as a pilot scheme, to see how many legs it's got? But because at the moment you don't actually have himself on the ballot paper, you merely have his representatives, who are not shy at declaring their love of him, which is different from everywhere else in the world.
That would miss the whole point of putting him on the ballot.
Also, go on, John.
You'd have to specify whether it was God capital G or God small g, of course, because the small g opens a plethora of conundrum because of all the thousands of other gods that go under that name.
Yes, but also legally speaking, it is not a illegal thing to have a person named God, G, capital G, capital O, and capital D, and no last name whatsoever. It's not legal for you to have a last name, so you could put God on the ballot from a legal point of view. Whether or not it's representative of whoever is a completely different issue. Hey, what's up, how are you? So there's my thought practice. Go for it, Larry.
No, I was waving.
There's a cute kid on the video stream for any radio listener. Yeah, so yeah. The issue that I find out is, if we can get past that barrier and we put God on the ballot, I feel like Christians would have to ask themselves, well, if I follow this scheme and God doesn't win, then it's really the next guy who's going to win. But in my head, it's like, if you have faith, then you know God should win every single time, right? Like, why are you under the impression that your God, who made the universe, should lose? But if we get past that, my second thought is, okay, so God wins the election. Congratulations to God. But he doesn't show up. So we forgot that God has this very great tenacity of being the hide-and-seek world champion of the last 3 millennia or something like that. And so if God doesn't show up, that's going to be fairly telling. If he's not there to rubber stamp anything, sign anything into law, arrest anybody, make any judgment decisions, that's going to be a problem. Do you think that would, rustle some feathers among the Christians? What do you think, John Richards?
Well, we've actually got a situation like this. Go away. Sorry. I've got a child here with me who's being a nuisance. So we actually have a situation.
She's cute, like nuisance. This. She's all right. She's good. All right, go ahead.
We actually have a situation like this right now, because 2 weeks ago we had an election here. Mm. And one of the areas that got a full election of their actual government members was Northern Ireland. And in Northern Ireland, we have, the remnants of a dispute between Sinn Féin and the Democratic Ulster Unionists and others, who are very pro retaining their connection to the UK. So this year, for the first time ever, Sinn Féin won a majority. Now that's upset the apple cart, because of course winning a majority means you get to have the first minister.
Weird question. When you guys do elections, is it, or when that election occurred, is it similar to US where it's just groups of people who get a arbitrary number associated to them based on like what a council decides, what that the it's like electoral college, or is it one person, one vote?
In Northern Ireland, no, well, that's not an easy question to answer because we have so many different levels of election here, different tiers of election. Some of them are elected on one person, one vote, first past the post. And some of them are elected on proportional representation of various sorts. And in the Northern Ireland, the situation is a proportional representation one. So in that case, you can vote for a number of people, certainly a first and a second choice. And then actually counting these votes is a nightmare because you've got to first go through and count all the first choices. And then if no clear winner has resulted, you've got to go through and count all the second choices. And they add on as a 50% value of the first choices. It really is a nightmare to count.
Sorry for asking. Gee whiz. Yes. Just vote for God, it'd be a lot easier. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But in this particular case, what happened was Sinn Féin won the numerical vote. So they've got the most representatives, and ostensibly they should get the first minister and form the government because they can outvote. I don't think they have an overall majority. They would have to have some smaller party in association with them. But what's actually happened is the DUP, the unionists, have refused to play. So they've said, we're not going to attend parliament, which means that you can't even choose a first minister. And we know who it's going to be, but he has to be voted in. It's a she, in fact. They have to be voted in, but the DUP are not going to attend that meeting. So
I'll pick my toys and go home if we can't play. So it's basically a bunch of people. So I'm going to do a quick translation for Americans. Basically, someone said, come over to my house, let's play Street Fighter. And someone brought Mortal Kombat instead. And they were like, well, it's my game console, so we're going to play Mortal Kombat. And people were like, exactly. We want to play Street Fighter. And the guy who has the console with the Mortal Kombat cartridge decides, well, screw this, I'm going home. and they go home with it. And everyone's just like, well, this isn't what we wanted.
It's exactly that childish, yes. Mm. And so Boris Johnson is going over there to try and sort it out this week. And if he can't get some sort of agreement between them, then they're going to have to go for another election. And guess what? The result will probably be the same.
So elections are complicated. Yes. Larry, please come in here. You're mute again, my friend.
I was going to change the subject a little bit from the elections back to what if God didn't show up. You know, if he didn't show up, to accept the winnings of the election. But, you know, his followers would just say, he's everywhere. He's always everywhere. So he did show up. He's here. Of course, they'd be speaking from the delusion that they embrace, but nobody else could see it. It would be like the king's clothing type of thing.
We would then come to a stark realization that he's terrible at any leadership position. Because, like, if we elected him to be sheriff, he's not arresting anybody. If we elect him to be a judge, he's not writing any decrees or, like, you know, admonishing judgment or anything like that. If we elected him to be a mayor, he's not managing permits or regulations. People are just going to run rampant with
everything. Well, we should be glad that he's not showing up he isn't real. Because if he did, anybody who doesn't anybody who disagreed with him or wasn't obedient to him, he'd just smite. And in many cases, that means giving them diseases so that they would die or drown them.
Fighting, yes.
And that leads into the third point I wanted to get into. But the idea is God is not going to be good at the role. And if he can't be a mayor at a local town, why are we so quick to believe that he's the leader of the universe itself? Right. Yeah. Like, think about that for a moment. He can't even be, you know, an assistant to a sheriff. It would be a terrible position for him because he doesn't show up to work. When he does, we're all going to like, who's going to get smite today? Like, we don't really know much about him. And from his, you know, if he was the actual character as he was in the Bible, that would be a terrible person to have be a judge of humanity because he's so inhuman just based on his character and the way how he treats other people. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I'm just going to be straightforward. Guy's kind of a bully. And so think it leads into the third point.
He's like a mafia boss.
Not even a good one, because there's good mafia bosses. You can make good shows about them. I've read the book that reports him the good book, and it's actually a really terrible book. It's like
it's so awful. Terrible.
So basically, he's no good at anything which requires his attendance.
Yeah, he's more of like the big idea kind of guy that plays the orchestra, right?
Yes, you know, the silent director. Yes,
the very silent director. So idea is
we have a situation in Germany, of course, where you can, unusually for Europe, you can be overtly religious and still get elected, you know, because they have a whole party called the Christian Democrats.
Sounds like America.
Yeah. And they've won some elections and formed coalition governments and things. Yes.
You say that like it's a bizarre thing for an American to hear. Like that it's in America, it's hard to get elected if you're not that.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, it is bizarre here because, you know, if you declare your religious nature in most of Europe, you won't get elected because that's not what people want. Right. People think you're a loony.
And you know, the crazy thing is, it's all part of this greater context of when you're an atheist, you feel like you're walking through an episode of The Twilight Zone. Really does. Because everyone is essentially so indoctrinated in this fanciful belief that when they talk about, oh, you don't believe in Zarbon? Well, where you get your morals from? How do you not go around killing people? And you're
you keep
wait
from
a
killing
second.
Yourself is what I hear so many times.
Is the only thing keeping you from not killing people or hurting yourself or like just randomly shooting people your belief in Zarbon? It's like, that's the only thing grinding me to reality. You're like, well, maybe I should just focus on getting to work and going back home safely today. You know, like there's only so much that I can do, you know?
So true.
And then the electorate's like, we believe in Zarbon. And you're like, oh man, it's all the way to the top. It's gone all the way to the top.
Yeah, there's a saying going around the internet that says being an atheist in America is like being the only sober person in the car, but they won't let you drive.
Yeah.
It is. It does feel like that. That's a great analogy. And so I say, put Zarbon on the ballot, you know, let's put it to the final test. If we all, if you agree that this is a real thing, put it on the ballot as an indication of a demonstration of your faith to compel Zarbon to show up, to actually do the work that Zarbon, you know, decrees is the way how we should be treated, and see whether he shows up to work. And if he does show up to work, everyone will believe. But if he does show up to work and does a terrible job, maybe we elect a better person next time. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we won't be satisfied with Zarbon's performance at the end of the day.
He ought to show up at the count and accept his winning. Yes.
I feel like there's some sort of, they have to sign something before you can be something like that. You have to like sign something.
Right.
Yeah. So here would be my last point on this thing. If God were to actually win the election and actually show up, okay, and now we have God in office, the Christian dream, I think we would be quickly reminded of how much Christians would then have to start acting like Christians.
Well, now, there's a good point, because in Finland recently, where hardly anybody is religious, that they do have one MP who is religious. She's married to a priest or a pastor. And she, at the moment, she's gone on trial because the atheists in Finland are accusing her of hate speech against gay people because she quoted the Bible.
Ooh, hey, you know, relevant. It's not a good book.
Hate speech is illegal in Finland and most of Europe. Yeah. So watch that space.
Some colorful things about, you know, speaking of that same thing, Bible says some very colorful and very explicit things about condoning slavery. And it pains me when I see Black people, you know, use it to convey a truthism that's so apparent that it would be true whether it was in the Bible or not. It's like, the Bible says Jeremiah 13:14 that water is wet. It's like, one, that's true whether it was in the Bible or not. And two, put down the Bible, because if you're using it to just, you know, validate very obvious things.
Preceded the Bible anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably older books that probably said that same exact
thing. There's no such thing.
Yeah, it's so clear that, and not only that, but that book is toxic to our culture. Please get rid of it.
This is something which came up in last week's Global Atheist News Review. I think after you'd gone, Ty, because you were only able to stay for a few minutes last week.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry. I forgive you, my son.
Oh, it does feel good. Tell me where I get your brochure. I might want to sign up for this. Okay, go for it. Sorry for interrupting.
But what came up was connected to what Larry said about water being wet was known before the Bible, because it's obvious that the Bible is well out of date, isn't it? I mean, it was written 2,000 years ago, and we desperately need a new edition, don't we? Because, I mean, there's no mention of gravity waves or the Higgs boson.
Mormons have entered the chat, but yes.
There are mentions of stars falling to Earth. How does that work?
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
So give us a new edition, God. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mormons are knocking on the door right now. It's like, hey, I heard you guys were interested in the latest thing. How do you feel about 1967?
Anyway, bottom of the hour now, so we probably do need to take that break. Stay tuned right here for the second half of Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Well, some songs are happy, and some songs are sad. Some songs are really well rehearsed, and other songs are bad. Well, some songs are angry, and some songs are sweet. Some songs are made to help you wake up in the morning. Well, here's a little song to help you go back to sleep. Isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. Sometimes I think about the chance that I'm wrong, and then I close my eyes and just remember this song. I said, there isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. There ain't nobody watching us, 'cause nobody cares. And in the end, we're living all alone. If I could live forever, I'd do it if I could. Leave it all behind, everything that I've done. It's just as bad as if it never begun. And if I was a believer, and Lord knows I've tried, well, I could be at peace when I close my eyes, and I can go to heaven on the day that I die. But there isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. Sometimes I think about the chance that I'm wrong, and then I close my eyes and just remember this song. I said, there isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. There ain't nobody watching us, 'cause nobody cares. And in the end, we're living all alone. Love don't matter, 'cause you die in the end. And money don't matter, 'cause you die in the end. And lives don't matter, 'cause you die in the end. But it's really never over, no, it's really never over. There isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. Sometimes I think about the chance that I'm wrong, and then I close my eyes and just remember this song. I said, there isn't any God, and when you die, you're just dead. And heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. There ain't nobody watching us, 'cause nobody cares. And in the end, we're living.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's just take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year. ASK has over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside the high top tables between 5:30 and 8-ish. We're usually the loudest and happiest group there. We also have a Tuesday evening Zoom meetup, a virtual meetup, if you'd like to join us. You can email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find ASK on Facebook, meetup.com, or just go to their website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or you can just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one.
Start one.
That's right. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Let's go over some listener comments today. Okay. Good suggestion by our own John Richards. So the last episode that we talked about was we need karma-o-meters. and ways to figure out how karma actually exists. Though we did make some comments that angered one of our commenters, Black Panther, said, "There is no anger in God." End of quote. Just say, so well, he may have said that and got a little angry.
The Bible would disagree with him.
Has he read the Bible?
One would wonder.
Dada's Trading Room. It's on the same topic. I think we actually may have made a comment like God's angry, but these people aren't angry. Dada's Trading Room says, "Hi to Krishna people are actually the happiest guys I've ever met." End of his comment. Thank you for that very much, Dada's Trading Room. Hi to Krishna. Aren't they the guys who are like wear Indian garb and they have like beads and stuff like that? And they're always passing out brochures. Yeah. Let's see. Anna Moda had a question specifically for Doubter 5. She says, would you say that's possible to say that you are a conservative without saying you're a Christian? I'm a conservative first and a Christian second.
Yeah, I have a relative who is a non-Christian. He's an atheist, but he's very conservative. But if someone just came up and told me I'm not religious, but I'm a conservative, I would have several pointed questions for him. What kind of conservative are you? Are you a fiscal conservative, a financial, an environmental conservative, values, a moral conservative? And if so, which particular values? Just saying you're conservative covers an awful lot of bases that it may not actually cover. So I'd have to talk to them.
Do you think it's possible for someone to actually be more invested in their conservatism than it is being a Christian?
Well,
do they always have to go hand in hand at the same level?
Well, sure. I know a whole bunch of liberal Christians. You know, they come to our meetups. I know a couple of Christian liberal preachers or ministers. Mm. You know, so yeah, that doesn't go hand in hand.
Yeah. When I was at CPAC last year, maybe 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I met a whole table full of conservative atheists who are like, "Hey, we're conservatives and we're atheists. Mm-hmm. I'd like for the stigma on atheism to actually go away, because I think it could get us more focused on the points that we do really care about as conservative people, which is, you know, holding back white people or holding back women and people of color. We could do that in a secular way too." I'm just like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I it's a step forward. I'm totally about it. I'll wear your pin compared to where it was before. Mm-hmm. Anyway, extended email comment from a discussion that we've been having ongoing. How do atheists deal with temptations? I believe this is a loaded question from the start. I would counter it by asking what the question asker meant by saying temptations.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Further discussion on that. But I, you know, and part of me says, well, we don't, unless we have good reason. I mean, if the temptation is to harm someone, then why would you want to do that? We have moral values, we have laws, we have all kinds of things that would keep us from fulfilling that particular temptation. But if it's like a sweet or going out and having fun on a Saturday night. No, those are temptations that don't cause any harm, and you can give in to them without any guilt. Okay. You know, that type of thing. It's, you know, it's the, you have to consider the action itself or the temptation itself on an individual basis.
Nice. John Richards, this comment specifically for you. It's from Jan Dross. He says, debating KH or Kent Hovind, I believe, is like talking to God. He just doesn't understand or refuses to accept anything you say that does not match what he wants to say. Hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, it seems to be very accurate to me. Yes. I had a run-in with him quite recently, as you know. And his technique is the gish gallop. He tends to say a lot of stuff, most of it repetitious of his original proposition. And he just simply swamps you so that you can't get a word in. Because after all, we only want to listen to him, don't we? that's his opinion of himself, it seems. There's no other person's contribution is worthy.
Yeah.
So I want to visit something you said earlier about the anger of God, because I've just Googled it.
You know that's not fair. Go on ahead.
And it's come up with 25 Bible verses about the anger of God. And the word is wrath, of course, because he's that's his particular type of anger. It's really strong anger. So it's quite absolute nonsense to say that God is not angry. It depends which God you're thinking of, as usual. And a lot of gods are very angry. A lot of gods do punishment things on their congregations because of their anger. They can't manage their anger.
Very true. So
what else were we talking about there? It was before you got to Kent Hovind, what was that?
So the previous comment from that I gave to Larry about what was it? Let's see.
Conservatism.
Oh, yes.
Conservatism. I'm trying to pull it up right now. So is it possible to be a conservative first and a Christian second, basically?
Well, yes. And in any order, although there is a sort of correlation between conservatism and religiosity, it's not compulsory, and there is no necessary or essential connection between the two. And you were speaking about some people at the meeting you went to who are conservative atheists, weren't you? Well, some of them are really right-wing, libertarian conservative atheists. So politics is one area and religion is another, although if it's a Venn diagram, you'll find there's quite a big overlap between the conservative and the Christian or the religious person. Because the idea of hanging on to this concept that goes back so many thousands of years, and in anyone's right mind, it should have been ditched along with, you know, belief in fairies. But it hasn't been. And the only reason, well, the main reason why it's still there is because of tradition, which is a conservative thing. People don't like change. A lot of people don't like change. And so conservatism goes with old traditions, religions that have originated thousands of years ago.
Larry.
Yeah, since we were talking about anger, what do you say when people say, why are you atheists so angry? I mean, we could probably make a whole show out of that.
Yeah, we have.
What do you say when someone says that?
Why
show
generalize?
Evidence. I'm not angry.
Yeah, I'd love to see it because I don't feel particularly angry right now. And in fact, I'm at the brunt of more angry Christians than anything else. Yeah. But yeah.
Go ahead.
This is part of demonization, isn't it? This is part of what theists want to do is make atheists look bad.
Right.
Simply. And one of the ways they can paint atheists as bad is by accusing them of all sorts of untrue things, like, you know, being purposeless, being immoral, being angry, eating babies. It's all nonsense.
it's sort of like saying, well, atheists can't get a date on prom night. It's like, you know what? Even if that was absolutely true, it still doesn't convey a good argumentation to get rid of atheists. If you don't like atheists, come up with a good argument to get to your God claim, like a good, reasonable pathway there. And every atheist you present that to will suddenly become one of your religion flock. It's that simple. We're atheists by virtue of the fact that you haven't met your standard of evidence. It's not that we don't believe in your God. It's really that we don't believe you when you say you should believe in my God too, which can easily be fixed if you just had a better argumentation strategy to get to where your God is.
Or if,
pointing to a book of claims isn't good enough. Yeah.
You know, Matt Dillahunty has a good point about this. If God wanted us to know, to believe in him, it wouldn't be any harm at all. I mean, any
exactly.
problem at all for him to convince us. He right. after all, is omniscient. He would That's know right. what evidence we need to convince us. And he hasn't right. provided that.
He should, show likewise, up and even stand outside the polling station.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And likewise, even if he did, it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll worship him automatically. So it's not suddenly, you know, going against our free will for him to just present himself to us. God, the devil knows God exists. The devil is still not on team God. And devil has gone to heaven, according to the Bible, and has spoken to Jesus face to face and still is not on team God. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then it is possible to present yourself and let us still come to an informed decision. And I feel like that's all an atheist is asking for, is just coming up with an informed response to the question of whether or not a God exists. And in a world where people can lie and there is falsehoods and every false prophet you can name who has, you know, YouTube channels and a congregation and money coming to them left and right, they can't all be right because they're all saying very different things, counter yes. things and paradoxical things and pointing at each other and saying, that's the false guy and I'm the one true guy. Well, if that's the case, then please, God, clear this up for me. You know, put your name on the ballot and show up to office because we'd love to see that. Anyway,
yes.
I had one weird comment on John's point about pixies. When I hear angel, all I hear is large pixie, right? Because what's the difference between the two? They're both magical people with wings. Yes. It's just one's very small and one's very big.
Yes.
And yet, if you bring the concept of pixel or pixies to eight Christians, they'll be offended. They'll be like, how yeah. dare you think this is a pixie? I'm like, is the problem size? Because that's the least one that stands out for me. You just believe yeah. in a very large pixie. That's it.
Yes, yes. Well, at the root of this, I think, is the tension between whether we like people and want to form some sort of group, or whether we prefer to be individuals and have rights as individuals. And somewhere in the middle there is a decent way to live. But those people who like to group excessively, they're the ones who form tribes and don't like outsiders. They have, you know.
Or independent thinkers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
Whereas those of us who are happy to be, you know, on our own or mix as and when, you know, rather than form a tight-knit circle, those are the more liberal, less religious sorts of people.
Very true. It's sort of like domestication of a species. Is you get rid of the bad programming that's, you know, provided to them through just the trial and error of nature and evolution, and you start building them up towards how to behave in a society where they can work with each other. And like, that's yes. what we're slowly progressing, hopefully.
Towards. Yes.
And I feel like we are. I think we're making some meaningful steps towards there. We still got more comments, guys. Dread Data's Trading Room had a comment specifically for Dread. This is from a previous episode where we gave God an employee performance review. It's called God's Employee Performance Review. Dread made a very thoughtful comment that put Elon Musk in good light, and that Trading Room wanted to say, I recommend you check out Thunderfoot's debunking of Elon Musk. You might have fallen for his personality, which somehow managed to switch off your skepticism. And I think it goes towards what I was mentioning before, where if someone says something that's a truism, right, or does like a really, really good thing, like, it would be a good thing regardless of whoever did it, right? Or whoever said that thing. And I think, I don't know Elon Musk from a personal point of view. I've never had food or had lunch with him or sat down with him. I think most of us are in that same territory. And so when we bring up Elon Musk, we sort of mean it in like, here's a guy who's helping to advance science, you know, save our space program, develop, you know, electric cars, reduce our carbon footprint on Earth, stuff like that. And personally, we don't know that guy, which, you know, is our own. I'm claiming this for myself. It's my own personal ignorance. I imagine he's probably done some shifty things or has like a shifty family. Who knows? Who knows? But I do appreciate the promotion of science, because there's very few people in the world who are making science look cool right now and doing so in a meaningful way. And I think it could have been anyone who's doing that role, but I do appreciate that at least is tied to a cool factor of guy who's also making electric cars is also making spaceships that can land themselves. Like, that's cool. Who's trying to get us to Mars? I'm like, cool, cool, cool. And nothing else that I'm hearing that's crazy? Okay, fine. Turning off my lamp. What do you think, John Richards?
You've given me a chance to repeat a joke I heard on Radio 4 yesterday. if this debunking of Elon becomes a movement that attracts some sort of media resonance, would it become Elongate?
Ah, I like it. I like it.
Good.
We did have one more comment. This is from Strontium76. So sometimes I receive comments in a belated fashion on previous episodes that we had. This one was 2 weeks ago. And it says, hello, I'm a French atheist. I'm a little sad because I listened to this podcast for the last few years, two or so. I followed the Ukraine war since the beginning. I'm rather close geographically. First time I hear about a link between this war and a religious problem in this specific conflict. Are you guys pushing religion somewhere where there is no link? I feel that this subject started on this religious link. How important is this link to the U.S.? The religious link between the Ukraine war and Putin's declarations of why he's in Ukraine.
Well, I can speak on the first part, but not the second.
So, Larry, were you aware of the religious link between... I wasn't until George brought it up. George is actually, you know, Jewish culturally. And so I wouldn't doubt that he's more sensitive to stuff like that. And so when he brought that up, I was like, oh yeah, then there is a clear link, because that's an easy way to demonize a group of people, dehumanize them, and actually get your troops motivated to fight against them. And I'm like, what a terrible situation. Like, all the pieces were there. John, what do you think?
Well, there is a strong connection between religion, Christianity, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, because the patriarch Kirill, the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, has befriended Putin from 20 years ago. Putin has built him a cathedral in Moscow, and as in return, Kirill has not condemned the invasion of Ukraine, offering no assistance to the Ukrainians and supporting Putin all the way down the line, to the extent that many other Russian Orthodox leaders who are not in Russia have defected from the Russian Orthodox Church, and many of them have joined the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which is a different branch of the same subsect of Christianity. So even the Pope, he's obviously, this is a different branch of much further back, a schism that happened way back between the two halves of the Christian religion. Even the Pope has come out as saying that really that the Russian Orthodox Church ought to be doing the Christian thing and not approving of this invasion, but it's not, and the Pope is upset. So, yes, the Russian Orthodox Christian Church is in bed with Putin as far as this invasion is concerned. What the impact might be to America, I'll leave that to you Americans to discuss.
I can definitely tell you that the religious angle is not sold as hard, because maybe it's easier for America to just stop at Russian, you know, like the whole Rocky movie was not like Drago is not only Russian, but he's also, it's like, we stopped at Russian. It's like, yeah, he's foreign. That's all you need for us.
Yeah.
for us demonizing.
Yeah, you have an audience of people who like things simple in your moviegoers. And
it's very true. It's very true. Not for the good.
To the extent that recently the villains in your movies have been British.
Right. Wow. How weird. And that's always been the case. It's always been the case. And I think that's probably why Star Wars is so hard to catch on.
It wasn't always the case. It used to be the Germans, but more recently it's been the Brits.
Right. It's just been Brits. Just some people with Americans with British accents.
Yes.
And sometimes too. It's very bizarre. Yeah. Anyway, guys, we have about 10 minutes left in the show. Wanted to just do a quick recap. God on the Ballot. Reason why I love it is because it can drain votes into a segment where we can just push them aside, hopefully, and hopefully let the next person win. And it consolidates a lot of like useless conservative points of view into like this one vote that just basically is a statement or at worst a protest statement. And then it's like, thank you very much. And then we move on with the real votes. Or if those votes become big enough that they actually win, now we have two issues. Maybe God shows up to do the job, which is like, okay, everyone's a Christian now, or everyone believes in this God now, or that God doesn't show up and the people who would put their votes in that person no longer vote for that person and realize what's up. Or third case, that God shows up, he's on the ballot, he shows up and he does terrible, he does a terrible job to the point where everyone realizes, oh, this was a bad idea. Like, what do you mean? Women can't be officials? Like, this sucks. What do you think, Larry?
Well, there's a fourth option, too. I mean, when you see God on the ballot, every religious person is going to interpret it as being their God.
Yes.
So they vote for him. Do five gods show up? Or 20? Hey, that's mine. That's my God.
Yeah. Oh, let him work it out. Wait, right. So it's a Moon Knight. It's the series finale of Moon Knight situation where all the gods show up and start arguing with each other. I love it.
I wouldn't want to be around, though.
No, I don't think. I think everyone loses in a situation like that.
Well, could be the next episode of Doctor Who where all the gods turn up and have a fight.
Or Star Trek.
Yes. Right. The other point I wanted to make, I guess, is my final points is the thing about a truism is that it's true regardless of who or what says it. And so if there's a really good quote in the Bible that you appreciate, that you like, that you go back to, it would be true most likely even if it wasn't in the Bible. And my thought is, imagine if someone said a quote in Psalms that you liked very much. If it was like a good point on how men think or how leaders should rule, it most likely could have been said in Sun Tzu's Art of War or some other, you know, political science textbook that's modern, maybe even more.
Confucianism.
There's so much good literature out there. Don't just stop at the Bible. Have like a rich place to resource these informations from.
Truisms exist everywhere.
Exactly. Oftentimes, when you realize that it's the truism that the thing that you care about, not the person or the source that you're getting it from, then you free yourself away from the cult of personality that's surrounded by that book or the person who says that thing. And then you realize, similar to the Elon Musk situation, that anybody who would be promoting lower carbon impacts in the world and supporting space travel and making electric cars, you'd be for that in principle, regardless of whoever's saying it. Likewise, we tend to like hold on to things. And I feel like conservatism is a lot about that. I think John Ritchie had a fantastic point on that. Like conservatism is about holding on. Doesn't update. It's always going to be holding on. That's what it is in principle. Maybe there are some good things to let go. Maybe we work best when we do evolve as a culture. And so maybe it's not good to be. Maybe there should be an openness to, instead of holding on, look for the best things to hold on to. And that should be what conservatism should be, always looking towards for the best thing to be holding on to. And that might change over time. What do you think, John? Feel free to close us out.
Interestingly, I had a debate about this on the Facebook site called Unbelievable ? And it was against somebody who said, we believe that there are certain truths that simply have to be conserved. There are certain patterns, traditions that have to be conserved, patterns of life, certain virtues. If they're not conserved, then society itself will inevitably be weakened. This is another week's blog, isn't it? So he seems to think that truisms need to be conserved. Well, I don't. I think that something, if something's true, then having a belief or an opinion about it is irrelevant. You can have
that. Oh, that's interesting. If something's true, having an opinion or belief about it is irrelevant. That's interesting.
Yes.
And that it's also, they're also saying that a belief in something that's true would necessarily hold us back as a society. It could be progressive truths.
I am going to think about that quote for like all week. If something is true, your belief or opinion about it is irrelevant. That's very, that would neuter so much religion in its own shell, right?
Yeah. Well, you see, if something is true, then presumably it's factual. And while you can have your own opinion, you can't have your own facts.
True.
That is irrelevant.
No matter
I love
which
that.
Politician says that.
So like you could be like, hey, is God true? Yes. Well, then stop talking to me about him.
Exactly.
It should be something
quote.
I could actually figure out for myself. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now leave me alone and get out of our politics.
There's a great quote by Aldous Huxley on this topic. I don't know if I can find it now.
John, in the meanwhile, while you're looking that up, where can we find your stuff at?
At Free Thought Productions. It's a YouTube channel. And I'm really getting into it now. I've got a lovely Free Thought Hour interview yesterday with a British Columbian ex-fundamentalist lady who is really fun to interview.
British Columbian, do you mean someone who's in Colombia but is from UK, or do you mean
Canada? Canada. British Columbia.
There you go.
Canada.
There you go. Yeah.
The westernmost state of Canada. Yeah. So... yeah, go and watch that. Tonight, there will be... actually, it won't be tonight because I don't think Dredd's available and he's the one who live streams it. I record Global Atheist News Review, where we get opinionated people to express their views on the news. And Ty, you're going to be one of them. Please welcome. I've got several other people from various parts of the world, including South Africa, possibly Sweden and the UK. We will be taking the news apart, giving our opinions of all these things that religion has done in the last 6 days to impact humanity.
Come for the opinions and the beliefs, basically. Relevancy, we're here to have fun. Larry, where can we find your stuff? Do you have any comments on this?
Well, have you told everybody where to find your stuff there, Tyrone?
You're on YouTube and I'm here as Let's Chat. Feel free to, you know, subscribe if you like this kind of stuff. My recommendation, though, is always to check out, you know, the other channels that are promoted on the show. I highly enjoy Free Thought Productions. I think you should check it out. I like being on the Global Atheist Review or News Network, basically. It's the additional show that's on Free Thought Productions on John Richard's show. And I keep coming to Larry about this, but there's this thing called atheism as a whole, and I still don't know what it's about, but I've heard that he may have some literature or wrote a song about it or something. Larry, have you ever thought about writing a song about it and just putting it?
Maybe you both.
Nice baritone southern tones. Just
oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be an awful long song. No, I have written a book about atheism. It's called Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. My content generally can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, Atheist Songs, and many articles on the subject of atheism. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, and it can be emotionally wrenching, you can find help at recoveringfromreligion.org. You can find this show on Apple iTunes, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. And remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.